last Wednesday talked about developing a relationship of trust. We have relationships among us and relationships with our Heavenly Father. And so relationships are really developed two ways. One way is through our relationships and also through our experiences. We develop trust. We know what we can trust and what we can't. We know who we can trust and who we can't. And sometimes it takes us a while before we can really know who to trust. It's not a good idea to trust people, amen, without getting to know them first. Some people just go around and they just bare their hearts to everybody. They go on the internet and on Facebook and they tell everybody all their problems and what so-and-so's doing over here and what so-and-so's doing over there. And they're just like just spilling it all out for just anybody to see. And how many know there are a lot of people that you just don't want to share your heart with? You need to know who you can share your heart with. You need to know who you can trust, amen, especially the secrets of your heart. One thing is clear, and that is God is always trustworthy. You can always talk to the Lord. He's not surprised anyways. He knows already before you even tell him. But he wants us to talk to him, and he wants us to share our thoughts. Because even in counseling, when you sit and you just talk out things that you're struggling with, it helps relieve a lot of stress just to talk about your problems. You know, that's why counseling is, in an earthly sense, is a temporary relief. It doesn't heal you completely, but it temporarily relieves you. The difference between an earthly counselor and a heavenly counselor, the Holy Spirit, is the earthly counselor, you'll have to go back and pay your money the next week. So you can spill the beans on them again, you know, just to let them know what's happening and get it off your chest and feel good for a little while. But the good news is that if you come to Jesus with it, and if you're willing to take all that stuff and not just talk about it, but say, Jesus, I want you to take it. I want to give it to you. I want to cast all these cares upon you because he wants to heal you. And he's trustworthy. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about any repercussions or somebody talking about your laundry, you know, because you thought you could trust them, but you didn't realize that they actually were a gossiper, or, you know. So one person we know is always going to be faithful, always going to be trustworthy. I'm not saying that you don't have relationships of trust here on the earth, but I will say that you have to be very careful and you have to pray for discernment. So you know who you can talk to and who you can't. There's an old German saying that goes something like this. We too soon old, too late smart. So, you know, by the time we figure it out, it's about time to check out. But we are, God is developing and God is preparing his people. And you don't have to be old to be wise. You can learn from the mistakes of others and be wise from that. You can learn from the examples of others. So you don't have to repeat the same folly. Now, we learn to trust God through our experience. How many tonight would say there are just certain things in your life that are out of your control? Don't overthink that one, right? Are there certain things in our lives that are out of our control? Yeah. How many realize God has not promised us control of everyone and everything around us? You know, that's very important that we get that. That God has never authorized us to control everyone and everything around us. Yeah. But sometimes we try to do that. Because when we get into fear and anxiety, then we try to control things so that we feel somehow we can protect ourselves from being vulnerable. Usually control is a result of fear. If I get fearful, then I try to control things. And in some cases, try to make things happen, because there's no worse feeling than having something out of my control, because then I feel like, well, if I don't take care of it, who will? If I don't control them, who will? How many know there are just certain boundaries that God has established in each life? He gives us one primary way of being in control, and that is being in control of yourself. Self-control, amen, is what we do have in the Lord, in the Spirit. It is a gift of the Spirit. So, not to control everything that happens around us or everyone, but if we would control ourselves, we can avoid so many pitfalls. We can, do you know the devil can't touch you if you just control yourself? Do you know we give him permission because we don't control ourselves? When we say things we shouldn't say, we do things we shouldn't do, or even fail to do the right things we know we should do. How many of that all has to do with self-control? We have been given freedom of choice. Choice means I have some control as to what happens in my life. We're not on remote control. We have been given authority. And we have been given authority to exercise control over ourselves, what we allow or disallow in our lives, what we do or don't do. Now, this is no mystery, but sometimes, though, even though we know these things in theory, we don't actually live that way. We can get into fear, and then when we're in fear, it's control this, control that, make this happen, make that happen. You can get into a place where you're constantly in the defensive mode. What does that mean? That means I'm also in fear. When we are trusting, fully trusting in the Lord, there is a supernatural peace, a supernatural security that comes with faith in God. Because the only thing that pleases God is faith or trust in Him. That's how you please God. Believe Him. Trust Him. Well, I please God by doing this or by doing that. No, you please God by trusting Him. Now, if God tells you to do something and you do it, it means that you trusted Him to do it. Because what God tells us to do is bigger than we are, but He won't ask you to do anything that He's not going to back up. So, everything around us is being shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. Now, we know that the word of the Lord abides forever. God's truth abides forever. This word cannot, amen, will never go away. It's established forever. When God speaks His word, it is forever settled in heaven. So this is something we can trust, amen, and put our full faith in. What God promises in this book is yea and amen. It's for sure. Because the world is passing away in this lust thereof. Everything we see, even this building, everything that we see, one day will be gone, including these bodies that we live in. So the most important thing is that we have been established in Christ, that we are grounded, that we are firmly grounded in Him, that we have developed a relationship to such a degree that we trust Him. Even with our lives, we trust Him. If God tells us to go somewhere and do something that's beyond what we can naturally do, it takes trust. It takes faith to do that. I have to believe that God is going to back His word up. If God tells us to go and witness to somebody, we have to believe that God is with us, that God is for us, and God is going to enable us and empower us to do what He told us to do already. We don't have to ask God that, by the way. He's already told us to do that. Well, let me pray about that. What part of Matthew 28 don't you understand, right? It's a matter of us coming to a place where we know Him, because people that you know, you know what they're like, and you know what pleases them. Is that true? When you develop a relationship, you know what pleases that person. And you know those in your life who you can trust. And when you trust them, that means that their word is good. If they make a promise to you, you know they mean what they say. They're trustworthy. And there's not one of us here tonight that does not feel a sense of, I guess, disappointment when we promise somebody something and when we mean something and when we say it to somebody, but they don't believe us. You ever said something to somebody in sincerity and they just didn't believe you? Maybe our kids. We've all done that. And so it grieves us when we speak to someone and we share something or we promise them something and say, listen, my word is good. Years ago, it was a handshake, you know, that was good enough. A man and woman of the word, right? Because there was a relationship of trust. And so it is when we, you know, don't trust God, then we don't obey him. We can't say we trust God and yet not obey him. Do you see that? This really puts it, folks, where it lies. And I tell you that there's areas that I need improvement in my life. How about you? See, he's not done with us. He's working in us. I'm certainly not the man I used to be, but I'm not who I'm going to be either. To be in control is to be under his control. You and I cannot have self-control except that we're under his control. And unless we're under his control and we don't, if we have self-control, then we can control, amen, what happens in our life as far as the way that I'm going to respond to the voice of God, whether I'm going to obey him or not. If I'm truly under his authority, under his control, then when he tells me to do something, I'm just going to do it. Because I know that he's trustworthy. We need to know our God. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know how faithful he is. And the only way that you're going to learn how faithful he is through your experiences. It's through the things that are allowed to happen in your life that are going to test you in this area. Do you really believe God now? Oh, we can all say we believe God in the easy times. When everything is predictable. But a test is just that. It's you're being in a place where you don't know what to do or how you're going to do it or how you're going to get through it. And the only thing you've grasped for every straw that's out there. And the only thing left is, well, maybe I need to trust God now because there's no other options. You know, judgment begins with the house of God, and I believe the church is getting conditioned and getting positioned, and the things that are happening around us are going to magnify. They're going to continue to happen. Things are going to continue to be shaken, but the church of Jesus Christ is going to become stronger through these things. We're going to be stable. We're going to be the people that the people of this world are going to look to in the evil day and say, what must I do to be saved? There's stability in your life. You have a supernatural peace about you. There's peace in your eyes. There's light in your eyes. I don't have that. I want what you have. You're not falling apart when everything around you seems to be falling apart, but you're standing firm. What is it? What's the secret? It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. What he's done for me, he will do for you. In Hebrews chapter 12, speaking to the believer here, says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. How many know that when we were born again, that God raised us up together with Christ, seated us in the heavenly places? That we've come to an innumerable company of angels. Do you know that we're in the presence of an innumerable company of angels? Amen. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. How many are part of that number? Amen. Is your name in heaven? Yes. To God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. I believe this is speaking about the Old Testament saints who also by faith entered in. You see, in the Old Testament, they were justified the same way we are today, by faith in the promises of God, by believing God. Hebrews 12:24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus cries out, amen, for mercy, for grace. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. That is the Lord. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. You see, in the time of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, when the law was given, the mountain quaked and it shook, and there was smoke and tempest and fire and brimstone, and the people quaked in fear of the awesome majesty of God. And they wanted Moses. Moses, you go talk to God. We don't want to go near the mountain. And God even warned, if you even touch the mountain, or if a beast touched the mountain, it would be killed. From just the sheer holiness of God. But he's saying, in the New Testament, in Christ, you and I have been brought in to the relation, this relationship in the Spirit. Because of the blood that Jesus had covers us, we have free access into the very glory and the, amen, the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Where we're surrounded with his glory, with the angels, hallelujah, of the just men made perfect. With the church of the firstborn, that's our brothers and sisters that have gone before, who are with us also. There's a festal assembly here. When we worship, when we praise, how many know that we're not alone in this? We're actually joining with heaven. How many know there's celebration in heaven? No depression in heaven. And if we tap in, hallelujah to him, guess what? The depression and all the rest of the junk goes out too. How many know you can praise your way out of that? I don't care how severe it is. You can praise your way out of depression. Why? Because he inhabits praise. And in God, there is no depression. Sometimes you just got to get sick and tired enough of putting up with the devil and his stuff to say, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm not putting up with him punking me out, beating me around anymore. I'm going to start shouting. I'm going to cry out to Jesus. The devil, the more you come against me, the louder I'm going to shout. You know, he'll leave you alone. Ooh, I don't want them shouting that name. In verse 28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Do you know that being in a place of dependency on God is a good place to be? Oh, the world says that's a crutch. You guys, you Christians, need your crutch. They don't realize that they're crippled, you know. Oh, you Christians need crutches, you know. The difference is we realize, yes, we do need help. You just haven't realized it yet. I had to come to the place where I knew I needed God. I needed help. It was bigger than me. Aren't you glad he did that for you? Aren't you glad that he humbled you and brought you a place to where you understood that you needed his grace? That's amazing grace. It's his grace that brought us to repentance. Deuteronomy 8:3. He humbled you, talking to Israel in the wilderness, allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. In other words, they kept coming into new experiences that they never had before. How many have discovered that life is like that? You just get over one experience and then there's a new one. And it's something that you never had happened before. You never anticipated. You never expected. How many know it's not always bad either? As a matter of fact, life is an adventure. It's really an adventure. It's a joy to know Jesus. It's a joy to walk with the Lord. Because every time you face a giant, every time you face a situation, it means promotion is just up ahead. It's because God wants to do a work in you and bring you further than you were. So we don't want to run away from it. We want to confront it. When the giant faces you, you don't run from him, you run at him. Why? Because God is with you. The devil knows he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble. Do you know he knows that he's in trouble? And if you and I just understand who we are, he'll know that too. Oh God, they're up again. They woke up. They're getting out of bed. He allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man should not live by bread alone. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And then he said in verse 4, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. In other words, God took care of his people. How many know that we don't have to worry about tomorrow? God's going to take care of you tomorrow too. Oh yes. He can make water come from a rock. He can rain manna down from heaven. God can make a way where there is no way. We're learning to lean on him. We're learning to trust him through our experiences and through our relationship with him. We learn that he's faithful. We say, Lord, anoint me for greater things. Use me for greater things. And he says, okay. But there's a process. And the process is not always easy, but it's always good. It's worth it. We are living for eternity. This is just the boot camp. Amen? He's getting us ready. Hallelujah. The Bible says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. How many want to reign with Jesus? Amen. If you're his child, you will suffer tribulation. There will be difficulties. But the Lord always turns those things around for our good in the end. He's making us beautiful. God's teaching us to trust him even when we're opposed by our enemy. David in Psalms 27, verse 13, he says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, David had his trials. You can read that. Amen. How many have read David's Psalms? Boy, he's had some trouble, this guy. And so if you're ever going through a hard time, read the Psalms. They're very comforting. But then he says this, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would have lost heart unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, it's not just a sweet by and by. He's saying that whatever you're going through right now will pass. It's only a season. And so what he said, wait on God. Don't panic. Don't get stressed. Enter into rest. Worship. Praise him. Rejoice in him. Instead, do the opposite of what it dictates. If it looks bad, do good. Amen? If someone curses you, bless them. Do the opposite. You feel like you're getting depressed? Make up your mind and start rejoicing in God. Why? You can do it because God gave you self-control. You can tell yourself like David did, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. What was he doing? He's talking to himself. Have you ever done that? Talk to yourself? Keith, get with it. Knock it off. Your mind's going in the wrong place. Keith, knock it off. You have that ability. It's called self-control. We can have a conversation with ourselves and not be crazy. Well, but he said to his soul, soul, bless the Lord, you know, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Wait on the Lord. And he said, be of good courage. Now, courage is not the absence of fear. Remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the mastery of fear. And so he's just saying, even though things may look uncertain at times, there may be difficulties in your life and tribulation and things that you've never encountered before. But don't get into panic. Don't get into stress. Don't allow anxiety to get in there. Amen. Instead, bless the Lord. Instead, rejoice in the Lord. Instead, shout the name of Jesus as you have. Folks, there's been times when I've just shouted the name of Jesus. And that thing was like, boom, it just broke right off of me. Because the enemy wants to shut you down and rob you of your joy. And he wants to take away your victory. Well, the victory he's already won. What is our job? To walk in the victory that he's already accomplished for us. The devil knows he's in trouble. You saw what I did to the Egyptians, the Lord told the Israelites. And how I bore you on eagle's wings. I brought you out of bondage. You see how I buried them in the sea. You saw my power. You saw my miracles. How many know that the enemy is afraid of those who know their God? God's teaching us to trust him, you see. Be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord, I say. So, strengthening, we pray. How many have ever prayed, Lord, strengthen me? We all have, right? Well, how many know that in order for you to be strengthened physically, it requires a workout? And so it is in the spirit. There's a workout that's required for you to be strengthened. Praying in the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. Jude 20, right? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How many know that is a spiritual workout? Resisting the devil, amen, is a spiritual workout. Overcoming difficulties, amen, through sometimes warfare praise is a spiritual workout. But what those things do, those trials actually only come to make me strong. I will not be strong unless I had to deal with something first. And so it's all good. Because God is making you and I strong in him. So that we will be the people that he can entrust with the greater riches of the kingdom. With a greater anointing, so that when the day comes, the evil day comes, we're not going to be shaken like the world, but the world that's being shaken is going to look for somebody that they can see, a Jesus that they can see, in a sense, that they can run to and say, like they did in the times when God's moved sovereignly across the earth, what must I do to be saved? Folks, I believe that soon, we're going to start hearing that. But we're going to start seeing more of that. People are going to start saying, what must I do? Because God is going to move in power. Where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. And when God's glory and his holiness shows up, people become aware of their sinfulness. And they begin to tremble in his presence. And they're going to want to know, what must I do to be saved? I know I'm in trouble. I know my heart ain't right. I don't know how I know that, but I just know that. It's because the Spirit of the Lord is revealing it. Why? Because God is going to have his way. And God is not willing that anyone should perish. God is going to give people a chance to be saved, folks. And he's going to move, I believe, again in America.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I believe God is moving now in America. Right now he's moving in certain places. But God knows, amen, how to get us into position. And it's going to happen in the Northwest too. So the momentary light afflictions are things that we deal with. It's only to make us strong so that we'll be stable, so that he can entrust souls to our care. This is a work that we do together here. Amen. It's not just me. It's working together as a team to mentor and to make disciples for Jesus. And so God's getting us ready because he's going to do a big work. I believe it. It's been confirmed. We don't live by sight. We don't look at what appears. We listen to what God says and we believe what he says. Believing is seeing. Now God is teaching us to trust him in our weakness. Amen. Naturally, most of us aren't very strong either. Why? Because it's usually the abstinent and the strong-willed that are harder to reach. It's the self-sufficient that are hard to reach. Now, God can take the self-sufficient and he can take them down enough, a few notches, and to the point where they realize, what must I do to be saved too? But God chooses the foolish things of the world, amen? The weak and the despised and the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God wants to make himself known through people like you and I who say, isn't that the carpenter's son? That's what they said about Jesus, isn't it? They said, this is just Joseph's son here. Well, they didn't know who they had in their midst. And folks, I want to suggest to you that most of the people right now, they may be despising the church and looking down their nose and saying, oh, the church is just a wash. You know what? I believe that's changing. It's going to turn. I believe the fear of God's going to start coming back on people. And they're going to say, isn't that Rich the mechanic? What's going on with him? What happened to him? Well, they're already seeing the witness of Christ in you, Rich. But as the night encroaches upon us, as things get darker, you're going to shine even brighter. And you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. We're going to be a brighter light. And people are going to want to know what they must do to be saved. So even though we may be called in weakness, God doesn't leave us there. He strengthens us with his might. Because, in Isaiah 40, it says even the youths faint. Amen. They grow weary and they fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In Ephesians 6, Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not of us. This is the awesome thing, is that you may be weak and despised in the eyes of the world, but God's grace, God's glory can rest upon you and work mightily through you, and the world will take notice. Do you know they said the same thing about Peter and John, wasn't it? You know, these are just common fishermen, aren't they? These are unlearned men, they said. They're just common folk. But they took note of them because they had been with Jesus. Do you see? People are going to take note of us because we are with Jesus. We're walking with Jesus. We're drawing our strength from Jesus. We're finding a grace that the world can't give us through Jesus. Our light is from Christ and not of us. So in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. In our inability is what? His ability. So they're going to say, wow, isn't that the guy that pushes the mop? And they got, isn't this the guy that cleans toilets? And yet he's going to shine for Jesus. And they're seeing, Rick, they're seeing Christ in you too already.
Thank you, Lord.
They are seeing Christ in you, whether you believe it or not. They're watching your life. Walk carefully. But the time's going to come, and I can tell you, if you consistently walk with Jesus, amen, he's going to continue to build your life and make you an example and a shining light. So the day will come when all the artificial security blankets are gone. All the things that man trusts in are no longer there. They're going to be grasping for straws, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to look at me, and they're going to say, there's something different about that man. I always knew that. But as long as I was able to be my own God and to be self-sufficient, I didn't need his God. But now I need God. And who do you think they're going to come to when they need God? They're going to come looking for you and I. I've witnessed that in my own life. Have you too? I've had people that didn't want anything to do with me. I was one of those Bible thumpers. And even though I'd made mistakes in my zeal for Jesus, they still knew there was something different about me. They still knew I had a power that they didn't have. They still knew that I had this peace that they didn't have. And when the bottom fell out, they would come up, would you pray for me? The people who would gossip about me, put me down, would come up and ask me to pray for them. You see, deep down inside, people know. So we don't live by sight, what it looks like. This morning, I was talking to someone on the phone who was sharing about how they've been feeling so empty and so alone and so far from God. They were doing all the right things, but they just felt like God was so far away. Have you ever felt that way? I think we all have. But she continued to pray and continued to seek the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, it was kind of like Acts chapter 2. All of a sudden, God shows up. And she's just so excited about Jesus now. See, it's always darkest before the dawn. Just because you're going through a dark period, it doesn't mean that God has left you. It just means that He's getting ready to break out in your life again, and He's going to bring you to a new level. That's why we must develop a relationship of trust. So that even though it may not feel right, it may not look right, it may not make sense, I have to trust the heart of my Father. That He's always good, and whatever He's, you know, allowing in my life is going to be turned around for good in the end. And you know, that's what pleases the Father. That when we've been tested, we still trust Him. When we've been tested, we still believe in Him. When we've been tested, we come through, you see. Looking at Jesus, fixing our eyes on the prize. We're looking at You, Jesus. You don't dwell on your problem. You don't look at your problem. You look at the solution. You look at Jesus. Say, okay, Lord, here's another problem. How are we going to get through this one? Because He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It's that incompleteness that creates a desire for completeness. It's barrenness that causes one to cry out for fruitfulness. You know? I notice, like, I felt like I'm just barren and I'm dry. My soul is dry and there's no fruit. And it causes me to get desperate and say, God, what's going on? God, I need You. God, show up. There's times when I come in here, I feel like that, believe it or not. I mean, there's times I just feel dry and I'm like, I've got to minister tonight. But I know my God, and I know my God's going to come through every time. So I just go deep, cries unto deep. I just start crying out to Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I worship You. I praise You. Hallelujah. Lord, I know You're with me. Lord, have Your way tonight. Lord, we want to see Your glory tonight. Lord, show up tonight and move mightily by Your Spirit. Touch every heart. Change every heart. Change every life, Lord. Be glorified in this place tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And as you begin to drill and to dig the well, amen, something begins to bubble up and it begins to, the dam begins to break. It begins to flow out, amen. And you don't have to wait for somebody to lay hands on you. You can just shout to Jesus and praise His name. Hallelujah. The Lord has gone up with a shout. And as He lifted up the ark in the wilderness, remember they said, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. They shouted it out. And you know what? The Lord will arise in you when you lift Him up. When you praise Him, He will be lifted up in you. Do you know that you are actually exalted with Him when you exalt Him? Because we're in Christ. Amen. We don't exalt ourselves. We exalt Him and then He exalts us. You get that? The difference. If you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. But if you exalt Him, He will exalt you with Him. You know why? Because Jesus said that the glory that I had with the Father, He wants to give to you too. But in proper order. Him first. His kingdom first. His will first. His name first. Amen? His glory first. And you can't give God glory if you haven't received glory. You can't give him anything you haven't received. Amen. We can't give him praise unless we've received praise. Yeah. Everything we have, everything is a gift from God. All good gifts come down from the Father. The ability to praise him is a gift from God. Why do I say that? By this question, what is it that you have that you did not receive? Don't overthink it. Do you see that in him we live and move and have our being? And it's supernatural, but it's the natural supernatural thing for mankind, for heaven and earth to come together as we exalt and praise God. Amen. As we lift up Jesus, he said, I'll draw men to me. How? Because he's going to draw people to you who represent him on the earth as we lift up him. Why? Because he'll be seen. Hallelujah. That's why it feels so good when we praise and shout to God. We're not exalting ourselves. We're exalting Jesus. But when you exalt Jesus, he exalts you. It's hard for us to accept that. Because that's not what God says about you. He says, you're my sons and you're my daughters. Don't say that. I want to give you the glory too. I want to share my kingdom with you. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But when we praise him, we magnify him. Hallelujah. And not ourselves. Then he lifts us up with him. Has anybody ever prayed, Lord, make me more charismatic? Can't imagine any more charismatic than that. How many have ever prayed in this way, Lord, make me contagious for you? Yeah. Okay. Well, what does he do? He gives you himself. He's what people are looking for. He's love. He's joy. He's peace. So again, it's because we receive his love that we can love. It's because he first loved us that we can love him. We can't love God except he first loved you. Amen. You can't know God except he reveal himself to you. You can't come to God except he draw you. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. That's what he said. So when we receive from the Lord, then we take what we receive and we give. What we give away, you don't lose. If you try to hoard and hold on to, you can lose it. But whatever you invest in the kingdom is eternal. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. If I receive a word from God, you've been blessed tonight, you receive something from God, find somebody else to share it with. Maybe you just got a nugget out of tonight. Take that, and the Lord has quickened something in you. I know he has. Take it, find somebody to share it with. Everything is and will be shaken. And so God is strengthening, stabilizing his church. I don't believe he's going to take us out right away, folks. I may be wrong. But I believe that we have work to do. And so what he's doing instead is he's strengthening us and he's developing us and he's preparing us so that we will be able to be able ministers in the harvest. And the people who don't think that they can do this will find that they can do this in Christ. In your weakness will be his strength. In our inability is his ability. It's just a matter of trusting God enough to do what he says. If you really trust him, you will obey him. Because you'll trust his word. He said this, I believe it, and I'm going to act upon it. You can hand a gift to a child. Say, here, Johnny, this is for you. And he can say, well, that's a beautiful looking package. You know, I just love that package. I want to talk about that package. I want to sing about that package. But he's not going to receive that package until he reaches out. Amen. And receives that package. God lavishes his grace upon us, but we've got to reach out in faith and receive his grace. He's, you know, most children, if you offer them a gift, they're not going to say, but I'm not worthy of that gift. They're going to say, hey, great, a present for me. We have to trust the heart of our Father that just like he said, he wants to give you the kingdom. Just like he said, he wants to give the Holy Spirit to us who ask. He wants to give good gifts to his children, but we have to trust his heart to the place where we know that just like he said, that gift is for me too. Well, God blesses so-and-so over there because they're so holy and spiritual. No. God blesses them the same way he'll bless you, is that you believe him, you trust him, and you receive freely of the grace of God. Because it wasn't us that loved him first. He loved you first. And by his grace, we can receive. If you feel your life is out of control, commit your life to him who is in control. To be in control is to be under his control. So we see it happening all around us. There's only going to be an increase of these things. We know it's been prophesied. Jesus said it would happen. The things are not going to get better, as some seem to think. It will get better for God's people, though, in the sense that, you know, we're going to see a greater harvest. We're going to see more people come to Jesus, I believe, because of the difficulties of the day we live in. I was sharing with someone the other day at lunch about a book I was reading that I just picked up. And I just started to look at it, and I've had it for a long time. It's a book by Tommy Tenney called The God Chasers. And in that, he was using an example of a Ethiopian pastor who, one of the high-up officials in his denomination, the one that Tommy Tenney was a part of, had said to him, well, we're praying for you in your poverty. And he actually reversed that and says, oh, he says, no, we're praying for you in your prosperity. Because it's easier for us to draw near to God in our poverty than it is for you in your prosperity. Folks, we need to be rich towards God. Amen. That's the key. This is a church of his presence. We are a church. We are a people who love him, love his presence. We want to draw near to God. We want to accomplish his will for our lives. I know that. And so we have to continually remind ourselves to keep the main thing here. And that we don't ever want to get into this mode of just constantly learning and getting more information and more information and never really bearing any fruit. And so we need to say, God, I feel barren in my soul. I want fruitfulness. I pray that, Lord, I want to bear fruit. Lord, I don't want to be barren. I don't want to be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I believe that you're already bearing fruit, but how many could say that, you know, I want to bear much fruit? How many believe that you can bear more fruit than you are right now? Okay, good. Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. So it has to be about his presence. When we come together, and we do, it's about his presence. Let's not forget why we come together, right? Because if we just come together and we get into the routine and the habit of just doing this thing, because the difference between liturgical Christianity and charismatic is liturgical, it's scripted. And charismatic Christianity, it's memorized. I can give you a quiz, a real quick quiz right now. What do our typical services look like here? You never know. That's good. That's the way we want it. But face it, in much of the Christian world, it's okay. We have our opening song, our greeting, you know, we'll do a couple choruses and then we'll have an offering and then we'll do a couple more choruses. Then we'll have our sermon and then we'll have maybe an altar call or just a closing prayer and we go home and I'll see you next time. Now, is there anything sinful about that? No, not necessarily. The problem becomes, though, that we do things out of memory after a while. So even though we may say, well, they're so canned over there in the liturgical church where they do everything by a script, we just don't use a script. We just do it by memory now. Do you see it? I mean, even in Pentecostal circles, so many times they just become by memory. We just do it this way because why? Because we just always do it that way. And maybe I'm just guilty of doing that myself, but I'm saying that we as a people need to remember that if we don't encounter Him, if even all of our learning has not led to an encounter with God, it was in vain. It's all about knowing Him, all about trusting Him relationally and through our experiences, both, so that we will be strong, steadfast, firm in God. And so people will come to us in that day and say, what must I do to be saved? Yeah. How many want to hear people say that? Amen. They don't want to look you up and say, what must I do? I've seen that a few times in my life where just things like that happened where it was out of the blue. I remember one time ministering. Oh, here we go again. Last story. We were in a prayer meeting. I had ministered to some young people and they just kind of had the glazed look on their face and they weren't interested. And, you know, I hadn't seen them for a long time. Well, something really scary happened to them. You know, they saw a dog run into the bushes and come out as a man. You know, I mean, you know, that could be kind of a scary thing. I mean, you know, that stuff really happens. Well, that got their attention. And so we're in a prayer meeting and we're just storming heaven, having a good time. And they come in and they're all shook up. Well, that was a good shaking up because we let them right into a prayer of repentance and salvation. And, you know, these things happen. God has a way of getting people's attention because He loves people that much. Folks, at any time, the Lord can prevent some of these things that happen. I believe that. God is looking at the big picture here. Even Israel. God always had a remnant throughout history of those who were faithful to Him. And many times, most of the nation had rebelled and they worshiped other gods and they turned completely away from Him. And it grieved His heart. And God knows what we're made of. He made us. And He knows how rebellion sometimes can be in a man's heart. And He knows what it takes sometimes to wake up a people. And folks, God is waking up America. I love America. This is our country. This is our home. I don't want to see America go down. But sometimes it's God's mercy that things happen to wake us up so that a greater majority of people don't perish. You read about 9/11. As tragic as that was, folks, a lot of good came out of that. There were people who were helped by angels. Many, many angels were on the scene helping certain people, individuals out. Others perished in there. God knows what He's doing. We don't understand everything that He does. But I do know, folks, that in a moment, America was awoken out of sleep. Because God loves America. He loves this country. We've been the golden cup in His hand. We've been the ones who have sent missionaries all over the world. And now we're blaspheming His name in the sight of the nations. God will not be mocked. And even in the church is every kind of sin. God's going to have a pure bride. He's going to have a people. How many here tonight say, I'm that people? We're the bride. We are the remnant, folks. This is a remnant church. He knows what He's doing. He's putting it together. He's orchestrating it. He's building it. He's the architect. He's going to build this church the way He wants it. And that's the way we want it. Amen? We'll trust Him with that too. All we want to know is find out, am I being faithful to what I'm called to do here? If we can all just do that, just be faithful to what you're called to do, then God said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. So there's a whole lot of shaking going on, but we're not of those who will be shaken, because our foundation is on Jesus Christ and on His Word, and God's faithfulness is towards His people. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered.